Anybody, you have peace in the house today? Why don't you just get up on your feet and for about 30 seconds just give God your best praise and thank God for the peace. Thank God for the peace. Come on, let's give the incomparable Vanessa Bell Armstrong a thunderous applause. Thank you so much for your marvelous gifts that you have shared with us today. Our lives will not be the same. Amen. I'm glad that Dr. Cofield thought enough of me to make us tag team partners today. And since we tag team partners, we might as well bring you on to New York. Amen. So you can minister in New York. Let's give it up for Sister Vanessa Bell Armstrong. Come on. Thank God for her. I am so honored and delighted today to be back at Good Hope. This is a wonderful, wonderful congregation of believers. You have an awesome pastor, and it's just in order that we celebrate 30 years of dedicated Christian service. Can we get up one more time and just give a thunderous applause for Dr. D.Z. Cofield? Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. I can't hear y'all. I need to hear y'all. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I tell you, he's God's gift to the church. And he's a gifted gospel genius. God is using him not only locally, but globally across the length and breadth of this country and even beyond the borders of this country. I'm thankful for our friendship that spans more than three decades. I want y'all to know I'm not mad at him no more since the 8 o'clock service, since he put Sister Armstrong up. I was a little salty with him, amen, for putting such a gifted singer in front of me. But I ain't mad at you, Kofi. I'm like Tupac. I got my Tupac spirit. I ain't look at your neighbor and tell him I ain't mad at you. Amen. But he is a beloved brother. Preachers love him across this nation. I always become a student when he preaches, and I analyze his sermons, and I try to think in my limited thinking capacity how he does what he does. Iron sharpens iron, and my relationship with him makes me better. And so I'm grateful today to be here. And then Lady Tori, let's give God a thunderous applause for Lady Tori, my sister. Amen. Amen. We were in the car the other day and yesterday, and DZ was singing, "Ain't no woman like the one I got." I said, "Hold on, brother. I got one too." Amen. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Tori and her spirit and love and support that she gives to her husband. And then I'm happy to see my sister beloved, Lady Brenda McKinney, in the house, all the way from Garfield, New Jersey. Her husband is the Godfather of New Jersey, Calvin McKinney. And thank you, Brenda, for coming. Calvin called me yesterday and said, "Brenda's in Houston. Make sure she gets to church tomorrow." Amen. And so Pastor Cofield orchestrated it all, and Brenda and her lovely family, sister, and relatives are here today. I mentioned my cousin at 8 o'clock, Evangelist Randall and her son, Elder Kenny, who were with us at 8. And I failed to acknowledge my other cousin who's here, Phyllis, who's an usher here. Come on, y'all give Phyllis a hand. Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis. I love Phyllis. I've known Phyllis all of my life. And she is an intricate part of our family. I don't know if I have any other relatives here, but thank God for each and every one of you. We are celebrating 30 years. Come on, give God another hand. Man, this brother has done so much. This brother has done so much for kingdom causes here in Houston in the Third Ward. Time cannot erase, neither can ages destroy the indelible impact that he has had on this community and on the church community across this nation. So thank you again, DZ, for extending to me the invitation to come. If you have your Bibles in person or if you have your electronic device, will you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? Scripture lesson today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'll be reading verses 17 through 30. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 30. When you have it, say amen. It reads, "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." The message of the cross, everybody say, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching, everybody say foolish preaching, to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those who called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chooses things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to tag this text today and prayerfully preach from the sermon subject, "Just Preach Christ and the Cross." Just preach Christ and the cross. Look at a neighbor. Look them squarely in the eye and tell them, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, the guest preacher from New York is preaching today from the sermon subject, Just Preach Christ and the Cross." Amen. Just Preach Christ and the Cross. The story is told, brothers and sisters, of a famous preacher known for his eloquence and wisdom. People, Dr. Cofield would travel from far and wide to hear this particular preacher preach. As they listened, Brenda, to him preach, they would be captivated by his ability to weave intricate philosophical arguments and deliver powerful oratorical sermons filled with theological truths. He was indeed one of God's gifted gospel geniuses. One day, however, brothers and sisters, after this great preacher finished preaching, a young man approached him and asked, "What is the secret to your success? How is it that Sunday after Sunday you're able to reach so effectively the masses with the word of God?" It was at that point, Tori, the preacher smiled and said, "I just preach Christ and the cross." He went on to say, "I don't try to use fancy words and phrases. I don't try to impress people with the world's wisdom and knowledge. I don't try to impress people with Platonic platitudes or Socratic syllogisms. I don't preach what is trendy and culturally relevant. I never try to impress people with my learning from the academy. I don't try to connect with cultural norms. I don't preach for fame or reputation. I just preach Jesus and the cross." I remind you of that story because it is this simple yet profound response which reflects the heart of the Apostle Paul's message in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 30. It is in this passage, Paul, in this passage of scripture, emphasizes that the power of the gospel does not lie in human wisdom or eloquence, but in the message of the cross itself. Today, beloved, I have called your attention to this passage in order that we might explore three key and salient points for our time of sharing. And as we celebrate my brother and your beloved pastor, it is my considered opinion that this text highlights three salient points pertaining to just preaching Jesus. When we look at this text, the first thing that we see is that this text highlights the power of preaching Christ. Secondly, it highlights the paradox of preaching Christ. And third, the purpose of preaching Christ. The cross, when we think about the cross of Christ, the death that Christ died on the cross, the ignominious death that Jesus died on the cross, we need to come to terms with the fact that the preaching of the cross shows us about the power of preaching Christ. The cross, let the church say the cross is our source of power. Those of us who preach the gospel, we need to understand unequivocally that our power is not in our intellect. Our power is not in our personal persona. Our power is not in our performance, but our power comes from preaching Christ and the cross. Why do we preach Christ and the cross? I'm glad you all are asking some good questions. When we preach Christ and the cross as the source of power, it is a divine demonstration of God's power. Paul makes it clear in verse 18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross, though seemingly foolish to the world, is the ultimate demonstration of God's power. It is through Christ's sacrifice that the power of sin and death is broken. Somebody shout, that's powerful. But not only is preaching Christ the source of our power, and it's a divine demonstration, but we think about transformative testimonies. Throughout history, countless lives have been transformed by the simple yet profound message of the cross. The power of the gospel is evident And the radical change is seen in individuals who embrace Christ, turning from darkness to light, from death to life. Well, let me see if I can't bring it a little closer. You know what the gospel did for you. You know how the gospel changed your life. You know what a difference the gospel made in your life. Somebody said, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did. He changed my walk. He changed my talk. But most importantly, he changed my heart. I am who I am today, not because I've been so good. I am who I am today, not because I've been able to scale the walls of academia. I am who I am today because of the transformative power of Jesus Christ and the cross. The cross makes the difference. Can you look at two people and tell them the cross is what makes the difference in my life? Coming to church is not what makes the difference. Being a superb Bible student is not what makes the difference. Not knowing the 66 books of the Bible by heart is what makes you a superb Christian. Not attending the rooted and grounded training is what makes you superb. The power of Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life. You know what you were before Christ. Can I be transparent? Can I talk to the real people up in here? You know where you were when Jesus found you. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus was never lost. Go on and touch your neighbor and tell him Jesus was never lost. He was never wandering in the wilderness. He was never out of the ark. You were lost. And the Lord found you. I really don't want to talk about where the Lord found some of us. He didn't find all of us in Sunday school as kids. Have I got one witness up in here? He didn't find all of us in vacation Bible school. He didn't find all of us on Sunday morning. Some of us were on Skid Row. Have I got a witness here? Some of us had gambling addictions. Some of us had drug addiction when the law, but oh, what a wonderful change has been wrought in my life since Jesus came. I thank God for the gospel. I thank God that I heard that old preacher say one Sunday, come ye that love the Lord and let your joy be known. Can I tell you what I did? I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, worn, and sad. And I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. Why do I say and suggest that you ought to preach Jesus and the cross only? Not only do I say that because of the power of preaching Christ, but I say it because of the paradox of preaching Christ. Listen at what the Apostle Paul says in this passage. He uses the word foolishness. He says the foolishness of the cross. He says when the Jews look at the cross, when the Jews examine the preaching of the cross, is scandalous to the Jews. Verse 23 highlights that Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews. They expected a triumphant Messiah, not a suffering Savior. The paradox of the cross challenges human expectations and religious preconceptions. But not only is it scandalous to the Jews, Paul tells us it's nonsense to the Greeks. To the Greeks, the idea, Cofield, of a crucified deity was sheer foolishness. Their pursuit of wisdom could not comprehend the concept of strength through weakness. Yet this paradox is at the heart of the gospel message. You see, some folk are just too smart to be saved. Some folk are going to intellectualize their way into hell. What's wrong with the church? Nothing is wrong with the church universal that Cofield talked about when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Sometimes it's the people in the church. Sometimes you're so educated you have become an educated fool. An educated head and an unconverted heart is a menace to society. And you wonder why culture is going in the wrong direction. You wonder why the church has just opened the doors and now we are free willy-nilly in the church. Any and everything goes without a requirement of transformation. It's because it's foolishness. The gospel doesn't make sense to some people. It was scandalous to the Jews. And the Gentiles thought that their superior wisdom was greater than the preaching of the gospel. Look at verses 19 and 20. It reminds us that God's wisdom far surpasses human understanding. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. The gospel reveals a divine wisdom that confounds, stand the wise, and elevates the humble. God, look at this church. In this text, Paul tells us God, the one who sets high, the one who looks low, the one who carved out the valleys and piled up the mountains and painted the sky without the assistance of a stepladder or paintbrush. God, somebody shout God. God reminds us that his wisdom surpasses human understanding. And he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. The gospel reveals a divine wisdom that confounds the wise and elevates the humble. And then it's a gospel that's made accessible to the humble. God, according to this text, has chosen the foolish, the weak. Somebody shout, that sounds like us. The lowly to shame the wise and the strong. The paradox highlights that true wisdom and strength are found in acknowledging our dependence on God and embracing the cross. Early in the worship, we watched a clip of Dr. Cofield preaching the homegoing service of Barbara Jordan. You remember that he was surrounded by the intelligentsia. He was surrounded by the political elite. But when they left that day, they left talking about Jesus Christ. Because God is able to confound the wisdom of the wise. But then thirdly, this text talks about the purpose of preaching Christ. Why do Dr. Cofield come here Sunday after Sunday for the past 30 years, Sunday in and Sunday out? He's come to this pulpit, to this church, this parking lot, this campus, to share his strong convictions about Jesus and the cross. What is the purpose of preaching Christ? Number one, when we preach Christ, we unite believers together. We all come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We all come from different backgrounds and upbringing. My upbringing is not your upbringing. What happened in our house didn't happen in your house, but something happened in all of our houses. Some are educated, some are not so educated. Some are functionally illiterate, but in Christ, when we hear the gospel, it brings us together. In verse 29 and 31, Paul emphasizes that no one can boast before God. That's why I don't understand boasting preachers. The purpose of preaching Christ is to remind us that our salvation is entirely by God's grace. Somebody shout, it was God's grace. And if it's God's grace, it leaves no room for personal pride. It leaves no room for division within the body of Christ. We all experience Christocentricity when the gospel brings us together. But not only does it unify believers, it creates a community. Preaching Christ fosters unity among believers, as we recognize that we are all equal recipients of God's grace.
Our shared identity in Christ transcends all earthly distinctions and creates a new community centered in Him. And when we become centered in Him, we begin to glorify God up in heaven. How do we glorify God? We do so when Christ becomes our righteousness. Verse 30 proclaims that Christ has become for us wisdom from God. That is, He has become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Have I got a witness? The ultimate purpose of preaching Christ is to point people to Him, ensuring that God receives all the glory for our salvation. Good day, good hope. May the Lord bless y'all real, real good. I've come to tell you today that I'm living out my calling. As I preach Christ, I want to fulfill my calling as an ambassador of God's kingdom. Our lives and words should continually reflect the transformative power of the gospel, drawing others to the Savior and glorifying God in all that we do. God bless you, church, but in a world that's filled with countless voices, in a world that's filled with countless messages, the call remains just preach Christ and the cross. DZ, I came all the way, yes, from New York City to encourage you to just preach Christ and the cross. Tell them He was born of a virgin down in Bethlehem. Tell them how He grew up in the home of the carpenter in Nazareth. Tell them how He taught the doctors and the lawyers at the age of 12, and He told His own parents, I must be about my Father's business. Have I got a witness? You remember Jesus, don't you? At the age of 30, He declared His Galilean ministry when He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach sight to the blind, deliverance to the captives, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord. After He declared His Galilean ministry, the old preacher said He went around doing good. What did He do? I'm glad y'all asked. He opened the eyes of the blind, cut a loose stammering tongue, made the lame to walk, raised the dead back to life. Have I got a witness? But one Friday, somebody shout with me, one Friday, they took Brenda a heavy cross, laid it upon His shoulder. You know what He did, don't you? He bore that cross up the Via Della Rosa, and when they got to the place called Calvary, shaked in the form of a skull, you know what they did, don't you? They hung Him high, stretched Him wide, dropped Him low, nails in His hand, pierced Him in His side, crowned Him with a crown of thorns. You know know what happened, don't you? He died. Somebody shout he died. If you know he died, get up on your feet. Look at a neighbor and tell him, neighbor, I don't know how you feel about it, but he died. Didn't he die? I said he died. The sun went out at high noon. He died. The moon ran up in high blood pressure, dripped down in blood. He died. Somebody said the moon staggered home like a drunk man wobbling on Friday night. He died. Didn't he die? But he didn't say dead, because early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Say, I feel his hand of mercy. I feel his common cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. Somebody shout, he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Ah! He lives. Look at somebody and tell them, I know he's all right. Cofield, just preach Jesus and the cross. Say yeah, say yeah, say.